This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to it. It is the Capital Wrap-Up Wednesday, 3 p.m. And yeah, I haven't been here for a minute,
Cap,
man.
Cap is back.
Yeah, I'm back, Monty. I wasn't fired like the rumor that you started. Yeah, I mean, I'm back.
Cap,
yeah,
I just thought you were fired. You know what I'm
saying? I was getting stamps and a passport. Yeah, you know I mean, that's what I was doing.
So. Sure. Stand on them.
Yeah, and then, yeah, last week I had a bit of an emergency, so I couldn't pull through. But I'm back, and yeah, man. Let's get straight into it. We're going to get straight into the news. We are going to be hanging out with a guest, a legend in the game. So I'm pretty excited for that. But straight into the music. On the new music front, Future put out another album. And it's another banger.
No. I didn't enjoy Purple Rain too much. But okay.
Really?
If you like it, sure.
I thought it had a couple of joints, you know?
Yeah, but that doesn't make it a great...
Okay.
Yeah.
But then that's how I feel about almost all of Future's projects.
Really?
Yeah, like there's some dope
three dope joints in there.
No, not three, maybe five. Yeah, nah, you know, like, you know,
but if
some
it's
dope
a 17
joints.
Track album and it's five dope joints, surely it can't be a dope album.
Okay, sharp. I just like a few songs, Monty. Are you happy?
I'm very happy. So do I.
You like it?
I agree, yeah.
Yo, Zanny Family.
Woo!
There Program.
Lit Family. What is it called?
With The Weeknd.
Yeah.
What's the joint called? Low Life. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that came out last week Friday. Been bumping that. DJ Radix put out a new single yesterday, actually, featuring Reason, Ginger Trill, and Kyle Daich called Sweet Escape. I'll actually play that a bit later if you haven't heard it. Nasty C dropped the Price City Deluxe tape, which features four new songs on that.
Which four new songs or any new features or anything like that?
No, well, there's a song called Friends On. I know Breeze is on that. No big features, so to
okay,
speak.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah. What else? DJ Spice is putting out a new joint on Friday. It's on the mixtape, but he's officially releasing it as a single. It's called Celebration. Yeah, features Kid X and Boosie. And
they're actually shooting the video today. I was there. Yeah,
I know. He had shot the video in December, but then they had lost that footage. So
yeah,
this is the second video that they're shooting for the song. Gigi LeMayne's also dropping a new mixtape on Friday, and with that, she's also dropping the video for her single Moja, featuring WTF. That's all happening on Friday. Stilo and Nasty C put out a new joint last week called Day Off.
Yep.
One of Stilo's better joints. I like it.
Yeah, definitely one of his better joints. At least it'll get more popular. You know, the masses will like it a bit more than the other stuff.
Yeah. Taking things across our shores for a bit, Ciara's suing Future for $15 million for defamation of character, because he's always talking about his old bitch, his baby mama. And apparently he's not paying child support. But I do think $15 million is a bit exorbitant as well. So
yeah, I mean, they'll obviously justify it in court and all with the legal people.
Dog, there's
like,
nothing
this is
you
why
can
15 million.
You can't justify me calling you a bitch and saying pay me $15 million. You can't. It's not happening, dude.
All right.
Beyonce performed at the Super Bowl. Jay-Z sent her 10,000 roses.
Yeah.
What am I doing with 10,000 roses?
You probably
can't even get out your dressing room.
It's like, for the stunt. That's all it's about.
Okay, then send 1,000 roses.
No, because you can do that. Anyone can send 1,000 roses. Yeah.
Monty, I know your ass ain't sending 1,000 roses to nobody. I know you're not sending 1,000 roses
to
nobody.
You know, I thought about it and I was like, this bitch ain't worth it. Never mind. Take three.
Fuck. Pharrell announced his co-ownership of G-Star Raw.
Very dope. I'm happy about that.
I'm pretty sure Woolies is hacked, though.
I mean, they'll get over it. I mean, it was just a collaboration, really. It wasn't like he was, you know, signed to Woolies or whatever. You know? So I think that's dope. It'll give it a bit more street cred.
Definitely.
I always liked G-Star, but it had a bit of that BE feel to it. So with Pharrell's face there, maybe I can...
It'll make sense
I'll
now.
I'll buy it, but yeah.
All right. DMX was released from hospital after having an asthma attack.
There's
different rumors.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard the overdose story.
Yeah.
Now I'm hearing this asthma attack story.
Yeah, the article I read said he inhaled or, you know, maybe... sniffed a white powder. They just called it a white powder.
Come on, we all know what that is.
Exactly.
And knowing DMX, come exactly. on, keep it 100, keep it real.
Yeah, but he's good now. He's stable and whatever.
Yeah, he's good. Swiss Beatz spoke to him.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Yo, just got off the phone with the DOG. He's good and in great spirits. Thanks for all the blessings at DMX the Great. I know they were working on an album together. So,
oh really?
Yeah. Bow Wow announced a late night TV show that he's recently starting.
Bow Wow.
Yeah, so he's no longer a rapper. He's now a TV guy. Yeah, breaks my heart. But anyway.
Cap. Forget about Bow Wow.
I've forgotten. It's over, dog. It's over. Big Cap passed away. That was a DJ. He used to be B.I.G.'s DJ. He passed away from a heart attack. And I remember this one video in particular. It was Summer Jam, like 95. And so B.I.G. was out there performing, and Big Cap was high as fuck. And he was literally fucking up all the songs to a point where B.I.G. threw a water bottle at this guy, dude.
Wow.
You can find that shit on YouTube. It's the funniest shit ever, man. So, RIP to Big Cap. Kanye West, I'm convinced, is really on drugs.
Kanye. Like I said to you, I think it's just, PR for the album, really. Just attracting attention to him. The album's coming out tomorrow. I mean, why not attract attention to yourself? It's a classic.
Yeah,
PR
dog. But my thing is, everybody does that. But like the way he's going about it, I think he's being a bit extra, man. And like it's pissing me off. Let me speak for myself. Like I'm a Kanye fan. I love Kanye, but dog, come on, dog. Let's just get the music.
I hear you, but it's Kanye, man. You know Kanye's always extra.
Yeah, but now I.
Yeah, he's tweeting a lot of rogue things, I won't lie.
What else is happening out there? Also, he had said that with this album, he's trying to open up a lot of hearts and a lot of minds. And he went on to say that this album is not really his work. He said it's 1 or 2% of his work, but this is God's dream coming to realization. And he was talking about how his mother is making things happen from heaven, and so was Rob Kardashian Sr. It was just very weird, man.
Ish, Kanye, man.
Ish, you know? Kendrick Lamar explains how his trip to South Africa inspired To Pimp a Butterfly. The trip led Lamar to scrap 2 or 3 albums worth of material, according to Ali, his engineer and mixer. One of his producers, Soundwave, was like, "I just remember he took a trip to Africa and something in his mind just clicked. For me, that's when this album really started." Kendrick says, "I feel like I belonged in Africa. I saw a lot of things that I wasn't taught. Probably one of the hardest things to do is to put a concept on how beautiful a place is and tell a person while they're still in the ghettos of Compton. I wanted to put that experience into music." So
Which he did.
Yeah,
on
he
a
did,
song
man.
Or two. So yeah, man. I mean, the album's plat now, so
yeah, interesting.
I guess it did him good.
Interesting to see though, man. Shout out to Kendrick, man.
Yeah.
Bringing it back home, man. Last Saturday, the All White was fucking epic, man. Shout out to the Les, man.
Yo, it was crazy.
The boy was out there jumping in the pool and shit.
As usual, shut up, Cap. Nah,
yeah,
it was
man,
crazy.
All White was crazy, man.
Shout out to Les.
Yeah, shout out. It was dope. Gigi LeMayne launched a new website last week. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but that's pretty dope. And Ricky Rick announced the short film for Family Values.
Oh,
I have
nice.
No idea what's going to be in it, but I'm interested to see.
This is not what he was shooting in Paris, right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Man, Ricky is crazy though. Like he's just taking everything a step further, man. So.
He is, and his visuals are always great, man.
Yeah, definitely. But without further ado, man, we're gonna get into some music. On the other side of the music, we're gonna be hanging out with a legend, as I said. We're gonna be hanging out with Slicker, ex Squatter Camp member, now Mr. Slicker on Life. So make sure you stay tuned. This is the Capital Wrap Up.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back. This is the Capital Wrap Up, and yeah, man, we are hanging out with Slicker. What up, Slick?
What up?
Hold on, let me turn you up. You good?
Good idea.
I'm good. You know, it's crazy, man. Like, I realized something. I take you for granted, my G. You know?
Yeah, you
like,
do,
no, I, but it only hit me yesterday when I was prepping for this interview.
Yeah, I told like, him, actually.
What do you mean? No, you know, like, because, you know, anytime, you know, I call Slicker for, like, if I need help, I need advice, whatever. But, yo, dog, you're actually a legend, dog. Like, you're one of the guys that are really responsible for what's happening right now in SA hip hop. You guys really started, you know, what's yo, man, let me get off your dick.
can I please tell him the story? So I just want to tell the story. So Kev is asking me, yo, who should we get in the show?
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, I'm stumped, but I think someone like Slick. Slick, that would be great. And he's like, why? I'm like, what do you mean, why? So I'm like laying down your credentials, and he's like, oh, shit. Yeah, I forgot you know hip hop. Yeah. Yeah. Slick would be great. Yeah.
That's good. You know, I mean, no one wants to be seen as a guy who used to, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
and maybe like Cap, because I'm in this space.
Yeah.
It ain't like, you know, like I'm not in this space.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in this space. I've created my own place in this space.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem as if, it seems like I'm with everybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I'd rather have that because I'm alive, you know what I mean? and rather than like be always seen as a, with all due respect, you know, I don't want to be seen like HP, you know, where, you know, people see him for the great things he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel that like I've done, you know, HP and them, I was helping them, you know, in our time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know, nobody sees that. Nobody knows that, you know? and because I'm still doing, because I'm still helping other people today.
Yeah.
So I'm in that space, you know, where I'm like, I'm in this space. I haven't stopped. So you can't go, yo, Slick, but y'all remember when Slick, yeah, you know what I mean? Because I'm doing, man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm doing, you know?
So it's not time for people to talk about you in the past tense just yet.
Nah.
You're still around. You're still out here.
But I'm the future, though. You know what I mean? You know? I'm in the future, you know what I mean? It ain't my fault that my age is going up, but, you know, my mind and my body is young, but.
Yo, man, let's take it back a bit, right? Tell us, you know, about the days of Phantom Slicker, you know. How did you get into hip-hop at a time where South African hip-hop was unheard of? It was like,
I never got into hip-hop. I made hip-hop. Let's just be clear.
Okay.
You know, I was with the team that made hip-hop. You never got into hip-hop. There was no hip-hop, you know.
So what made you do it?
Because it's all I knew, you know. It's all I knew. It is, you know, obviously staying in Katlehong, whatever. Back then, you know, it was before, obviously, like the what do they call you guys? The new what?
The new, I don't know what you're talking about.
New school, new.
No. They call you guys the free.
The born freeze.
Yeah, I'm a born free.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I put it free, but like.
Wow.
Like, you know, I mean, it's just before like the born freeze were like, you know, we were at a time where like there was no such thing. So when you looked at a black person, the only time you could see a black person as a hero was on television.
Yeah.
And I watched all the action movies where the black guy literally never died in the middle. I love those. You know? I thought that these actors that like let, when the black guy was there, they're like, ah, that guy, there's all these black people there. Like, hey, Sylvester Stallone likes blacks. You know what I'm saying? How's that, dude? So, I mean, that was the only time you could actually see blacks that are like progressive, that's just like bigger than, which is what you weren't seeing in your hood, your community, because of obviously the environment and the times.
Yeah.
There was no aspiration. Mm. And rap music, though, when I listened to rap music, and I was in a school called St. Benedict's College.
Yeah.
And
went to that school too. Shout out to Benedict.
Yeah, yeah. Truth and Charity, Veritas and Caritas.
Yeah, Benny's. I never liked Benny's. Anyway.
You know, but I went to that school, and if you were there, we went there when yo, it was a privilege to be in that school as a black child. Government schools weren't even allowing black children in schools that when I was there.
Mm.
Yeah. So for us, you'd have one or two black kids. So already the aspiration of, like, the aspiration of being black is just not there.
Yeah.
So when you listen to rap music, I listen to these rap guys talking about F the police, talking about power to the people, like talking about, yo, there was so much black pride, something I'd never seen before, packaged in such a cool way.
Yeah.
Obviously everything else was packaged as a struggle in where we are from, but like this was packaged in a cool way. I was like, yo, this talks to me.
Yeah.
And it talks, and rap has been literally the driver. I'm always doing things that no one is doing, I'm always breaking ground. I'm always going against the grain, starting businesses from zero. And that's just being it, you know. So rap just talks to who I am. It just talked to who I am. It was a fit.
Yeah. And speaking of the lack of black pride back in the day, I remember when Squatter Camp first came out, you guys were seen as a group of vulgar young men.
Yeah.
And like, did like a lot of doors close in your face because of that?
Remember Squatter Camp, there was no door open at all. Yeah, I mean, it ain't like this world that you guys are in right now. You know?
You're trying to say we have it easy, Slick.
Oh, hell yeah. Today, young, you guys, it's literally about actually, are you going to do it or not?
Do the work.
That's the difference between making it or not making it today, you know? In our time, you could do it, but it could never work still because the market wasn't ready. The people are not evolved. You know, to be quite honest with you, what I'm doing right now, running a website, is something that, like, is still almost like seen like it's an impossible thing because I'm like a broadcaster. Do you know what I mean? What the guys that fight for what I have are guys like Naspers, are guys like, well, they fight for the same audience of young people, you know, and we're probably the biggest in what we're doing right now. So the truth of the matter is that, like, even what I'm doing right now, big corporate companies would love to actually have that audience, you know, but ain't nobody doing it, ain't nobody thinking of doing it. If we would have got a million page likes on Facebook or 500,000 pages on Instagram, but like I say, cool, but like who owns it? So you know, I run a website and cats don't get it. I'm like, yo, we 200,000 unique visits deep. I'm like, it ain't your million followers. But damn, who owns your million followers? You know what I mean?
You don't own your million.
My hustle is that level of, like, even something would go, it's so stupid. Who cares about online? I want to own my audience. My Facebook and my Twitter supports me to own my audience. So I'm using Facebook and Twitter to grow my audience, while Facebook and Twitter is using everybody else to grow their revenue.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just the name of the game, you know. You gotta always look at it that way. But who cares about doing these things? No one, but I do.
We need someone like you who does care.
That's it, you know. But like, that all comes from a school of not being given anything. That all comes from that. That's the struggle I'm going through. Like, I mean, you know what we were talking about now earlier on before we started.
Yeah.
These are the things that we were trying to crack with the rap. You know what I mean? We were trying to go, so we literally sat, it was me, Sip, Smacks, we sat outside a garden like my in Leondale when we just moved there, and we're like, okay, so my gents, we're going to record this album, and you know guys in Togoza, you know guys in Tembisa, so we'll do all the tapes here and record all the tapes, give guys tapes for 10 rand, we're selling for 10 rand, they sell them for 15 rand, and then we move. So you hit Tembisa, you hit Alex, you hit Soweto, we literally like were strategizing how to get the tapes out there. You know what I mean?
Built your own network, basically.
Literally, we were literally like building a marketing plan and a strategy without us knowing that's what we're doing. And that really was the success of Squatter Camp. By the time they signed us, we literally, all we needed now, we just needed a co-sign from corporate South Africa, like from Musica, from Clix. But we're already reaching out there.
Yeah.
It's like what someone's saying to me this morning. They're like, if anyone knows anything, Slick on Live is talking to exactly who it needs to be talking to. But you know, the guys that are trying to get this market, all the brands, they ain't even woken up to that. You know what I mean? And that's the same thing that happened with Squatter Camp. It's almost like until Gallo woke up, and when Gallo woke up, the whole business changed.
It was too late.
So you know, I always go, there's always black street cred, you know, which is what like Squatter Camp had. And then when white commercial money comes in, it becomes some type of business that everybody goes, oh, that's a great business. But that stuff was always there. It's like Slick on Life. You know, we like a great street cred online platform.
Yeah.
You know, we bigger than, like, let me tell you, we bigger than, like, some companies that run websites and are, like, literally part of big establishments with big, and we bigger than that. But you know, immediately when one of them motherfuckers come in and start going, oh, we're going to put money into that, Cat's going to be like, oh, that's some shit we got to respect. You know, now it's in. But them motherfuckers, no one gets it. No one knew. No one knows how to sell this to ourselves.
And it's there already.
No one knows. No one knew how to sell rap to ourselves. And we figured it out. And then when business buys into it, when radio buys into it, when brands buy into it, it will be like, yo, but yo, that's slick as shit. That's cool. Camera shoes, the truth, though. And it's the same thing we're doing. Ain't no one cracking like just generally 200,000 unique visits online, Mavi. No one. So
you,
I'm the genius. So by the time they give someone money, they're gonna be like, once one of these companies that got it, you know how black folks be like, they were like, yo, man, you're smart, Bill. But I'm being smart. And that's a problem when you're black. You're smart, but you don't have, like, the investment, what.
Yeah, the white stamp.
You ain't got the capital.
I keep it real. I keep it real with it. I was speaking to Harald, you know, from Soul Candy, you know, it's the whole Jewish connection, you know. I met up with Danny K also. And, you know, I said to him, he said, yo, see, it ain't like we go research this stuff. We talking other things. And then the one guy goes to me, because they owe money, he goes, yeah, I know you doing that. How about I want to buy something like that, or I want to get into this type of business. And then the business is done. Yeah. How many of us, or how many black folks could we be around whereby we could literally talk about sincerely, genuinely about business and money and longevity and long term, you know, because everybody's literally either making money now or has got a quick rich scheme now. There's no long term, gradual, this is how we build money conversations with us. That's why everybody talks about a tender like it's a great thing. You know what I mean? But no one talks about hard work like, yo, that's hard work that builds. No one respects hard work.
True.
Yeah. A lot of the topics that you're touching on right now date back to a song that you put out. It was very controversial.
Yeah.
And it was called Blacks Are Fools.
Yeah.
I want you to explain. I want to hear this from the horse's mouth. What was going through your head, and did you expect the kind of backlash that you got from that song?
You know, I was disappointed, you know. I'm like, you know, I remember the day I shot the video. I literally, like, I prayed that morning in my bedroom. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? But this is before I knew what it would become, you know.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed because I felt that, like, as a messenger, as a musician, we got, like, this purpose to, like, make people open up their eyes and their ears or whatever.
Yeah.
And act. But instead, people were like, yeah. They were either hating or they either saying yay. But there was no, okay, let's improve ourselves.
Yeah.
It's like I got this thing I posted, the Save Ourselves by Schooling Ourselves thing, which is an educational thing, whereby, and I'd like you to be a part of it, and everyone else, you know, that's listening, whereby you donate anything that you want, from 10 rand to 500 rand. I buy media on Instagram, and, like, you know, this thing gets close to 1,000 likes, and only 2 or 3 people donate, yeah? You know, we that generation that just, we get caught up in the hype, you know? At the end of the day, you know, what do you use a market like that? You use it for whatever the corporate world has figured, like, South Africans for. They just consumers. They don't think. They don't stop and think and go, oh, this matters. We must put our money in this. This needs to grow. You know what I mean? They don't think. They just consumers. You know what I mean? So, you know, it is what it is.
So tell us about this initiative that you've just...
Yeah, it's called Save Ourselves by Schooling Ourselves. I mean, I've had a conversation with close to, like, 35 personalities, you know. I want to get it the whole industry in. So what it is that, like, you donate anything from 10 rand to 500 rand. It's on our store on the website. You donate anything from 10 rand or 500 rand. But what we do as personalities, we ask our followers to donate. And if we raise, like, 20,000, maybe 20,000 gets one kid to school. Boston City Campus matches it up and gives us another 20,000 so we can take 2 kids to school, you know. I just believe that it answers this thing of kids saying they're looking for bursaries, of us always, like, going, okay, you know how personalities are. One minute they're jumping Fees Must Fall, one minute they're jumping Axis, I'm like, yo, let's just have one consolidated thing that can last forever. So, like, in the next 5-6 years, this thing can actually build a school. And we can say it was an industry thing where because the industry is so influential, now even the general public is getting involved in it. You know what I mean? So it's like once again, you know, I'm speaking to personalities, people, a market that doesn't know that, like, it took time to build Marion Roberts, you know. It took time to build anything that's been around, like a Standard Bank, you know. Like, even I, you know, guys don't get it, you know, because I deal with music. So they look at iTunes and iPhones and Apple, and they're like, yeah, you know, Apple streaming. But even Apple is trying to figure it out. And until they, I mean, when it comes to music, you know what I mean? If you watch any documentary about anything, every business tries to figure it out. And once they figure it out, that's when they blow. Even, you tell me that, do you think iTunes has figured out streaming? Do you think iTunes is doing well with streaming here in this country? They're not. They just, the brand is big.
Yeah, definitely not in this country, no.
Do you know what it means? It means they haven't figured it out. Yeah. Do you think Deezer's figured it out? They linked to Vodacom. Do you think they figured it out? You know? Do you think there was another company that was linked to Samsung phones, whatever? Do you think they figured
Spotify.
It out? I don't even think, like, in this country, there was another one that was linked with Universal. You know why it's shut down? Because they haven't figured it out. But they have the money to go, okay, this doesn't work, let's move. But then when cats like us do things, trying to figure things out, cats are like, yeah, but you know, you're always doing 1,000 things. Nah, dude. Because we got to figure it out, P. Because we got to, and when we figure it out, it makes life better for everybody.
Yeah.
So you got to either choose that you're going to chase everything else or you're going to figure it out. And that's why you go, Slick, why? Because that nigga's still figuring it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? And I keep it real. Yes, you know, I've done great things, but I'm figuring it out. You know?
Speaking of great things, I'm going to take it back a bit. I remember a time when I saw Squatter Camp perform live at Top Star Drive-In.
Yeah.
And Ludacris came on stage when Ludacris was Luda.
Yeah,
Luda.
Yeah, yeah, I remember.
And Cool Shop, he jumped into your guys' performance. It was dope. And then some rumors started going around that you guys were about to sign to Disturbing the Peace.
Yeah, yeah.
What was happening there?
They were trying to figure it out. Yo, you see, that's how I tell cats, I go, you know what? It ain't a thing. You can tell me whatever you're doing overseas, B. It ain't about what you're doing overseas, right?
Mm.
Them cats flew us, and we literally stayed there for 2 weeks. Man, I was in the studio when L.A. Reid was L.A. Reid, you know, with Outkast. I was in the studio where Outkast does their stuff, where Boyz II Men was doing their stuff. Literally, like, dude, I was there. I was in the recording during DTP's mixtape that they took out later, you know what I mean? They even wanted me to go in and just do a verse randomly, but, you know, I was just a bit starstruck.
So were you shook? You didn't drop a verse?
Nah, dude. It was. I was totally out of my comfort zone. You know what I mean? First time I'm on a plane, like, just going overseas. First time in America, even. You know, these cats literally paid for everything. Got us a nice hotel. Like, you know, for me, everything. I'm still like taking everything in. It was just hard just to go switch, you know. And we were supposed to have a meeting with Jay-Z was president of Def Jam then. So we had supposed to have a meeting with Jay-Z and Kevin Lyles, you know. So within those 2 weeks, these cats were trying, they had already spoken to them about this African plan, blah blah. But the big thing about it is that when they looked at it, they went, but you guys are doing well, but you don't own anything.
Shit.
That's the thing. You it's like what everyone, it's like they literally said everything that everybody is doing right now. Everybody's doing well, but they don't own anything. And they go, we want to build a relationship whereby we can build something. But if you guys don't own the stores that sell the music, if you guys don't, or you're not involved in some way with the stores that sell the music, you're not involved with the channels, you're not involved with the, you still have to go struggle to get it in. Yo, and that really was like the thing that literally was like the nail
in the coffin.
Yeah, you know what I mean. But yo, they good guys. But the one thing that I saw there is that yo, cats think that like when if you want to break overseas, you gotta be going overseas. Mm. You gotta struggle overseas.
Yeah,
cause cats, the Titty Boy, 2 Chainz. He was struggling, but okay, yeah. You know, as an art, but he clearly was a hustler because he had this big ass 7 Series outside. You know what I mean? At that time, you know, but he wasn't doing well.
Yeah.
He literally had to leave DTP and literally find his way and be persistent and continue while everyone else kind of died off. So everybody thinks that, yo, when you go overseas, nah. I mean, I don't know, my girl, like, Lyra, she literally, I don't know if she's going to have this show, but I just saw a show that she's doing, a reality show, not a reality show, but she went to overseas to try break her career, and she shows the real struggle. And you're like, yo, why don't you just come back home?
Yeah.
So the truth of the matter is that, like, you know, it ain't just, you can go fly, you can go do your thing with that guy with that accent. What's his name? What's that guy named? Everyone freestyles there.
Which guy?
AKA Westwood.
Yeah, you can go to Tim Westwood. You can do whatever you want to, you know. And I'm just saying this. I'm not even just, this doesn't even apply to just the guys at home, because everyone goes from the Nigerian artists. You can go there, but yo, that's a whole nother market you got to break there.
Yeah.
And even the people within that market are struggling. You know what I mean.
Yeah. So would you ever go back to making music?
I'm making music all the time, you know.
Okay, release.
I'm just waiting for Cap to call me and go, yo, I need some intelligent raps, you know. I think releasing is going to be a time. I'm writing some stuff that I'm actually trying. I've got a full album actually that I don't know if I'm even going to release. I finished that like 3 years ago, but I don't know if I'll even do that. But I'm always writing. And I think I've been speaking. I just need to go. I got some guys that I really like what they do musically. They already also in the industry. So I got like, I maybe might drop just like a 4 or 5 track EP, you know. But just online, you know. Yeah.
You
know?
So you were the first to break out of your group and go solo.
Was I? No, to have a solo album. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was Bozza.
To have a solo album?
Bozza had the most anticipated. Was the most anticipated.
Damn. And I think you learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He's definitely right.
Yeah. I definitely know. You know.
So why did you guys decide to start, you know, doing solo projects?
I never ever wanted to be doing a solo project. I was just thinking about this morning, you know, because I'm always like, I was always a behind the scene person.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about a guy like Wyclef this morning, and I was like, damn, I wonder what happened to that dude. But that dude was actually, I think he got caught up in trying to be a star when he was actually like a background guy.
Mm.
You know, Wyclef was literally like a background guy who could also cut it as like the guy in the forefront, but he was never the star. The star was always Lauren, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you're a background guy and they give you a little chance in the forefront, don't forget you're actually not supposed to be in the forefront. And I don't think I was ever supposed to be in the forefront like that. I think I could rap, I love rap music, I could make music, I got a good ear for songs, I could actually make great songs, you know. If I said, even if I don't rap, I can help to make, all the songs that I was involved in were hits, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you say Clap Song, if you say Umoya, which like Silo really started, but like I literally directed where it goes with it. If you go Landela, Kings and Queens, this is the DNA that comes from me that a lot of people have picked up, but Tear Gas picked up and they kind of took pieces of it. You know what I mean? Josie picked it up and made pieces of it, and Jube also. You know what I mean? Like from the Cocaine. So you know, I'm the DNA of all those sounds. You know what I mean? I'm the founder of all those sounds and creating them like that. You know what I mean? Obviously, with a huge assistance from the group. I mean, but consistently, I was always there. It was me and Nims that were consistently always there. You know what I mean? And then when you talk like vernac rap, Bozza and Flabber and Bozza specifically is the pioneer of making vernac rap work organically. Everyone else was doing it, but it wasn't. It was like, we AI forced that idea. But Bozza is literally the pioneer of that.
Mm.
Manyisa was literally like the cornerstone of that track that created that vernacular rap thing. And Bozza was the guy who created that. Obviously, Info did the beat, but Bozza literally was the one who, I tell you how it happened, was like 1 o'clock in the morning, because the studio was at my mother's place. So, you know, I never went to my bedroom, you know, I was just always there in the studio.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, great music is only made that way. That's another reason why I'm not really doing music, because I'm not, you got to live in the studio and have no worries all the time.
Yeah, just thinking about the music.
But, you know, I never had anything else. All I had was the music, yeah. You know. It was 1 o'clock, I was tired as a mother. And then all I heard, I just heard this. With the elements, and then like, yes, suppose injaya corner and bit nkuli no more corruption corner. We got injections. Velicelicia Jova from left to right, she's, I was like, what the? I woke the F up. Yo,
you can swear.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, okay. What the fuck? Yeah, you know, I woke up, I was like, yeah. What is happening? You know, when you hear it now, it's like, yeah, whatever. But for real, man, that was the first time vernacular rap sounded so dope.
So dope.
And it wasn't, it never even woke me up. The whole country kind of was like, and everybody was trying to like come through with that. You know what I mean?
You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm actually play the song for these youngins that don't know what the fuck. So this, according to Slicker, is what really started vernacular rap, right?
This pioneered rap, vernacular rap to commercial, to commercial heights.
Commercial success.
All right, cool. This is Squatter Camp with My Nisa.
From left to right, chicks screaming, hike it on. I'm still a player, although Nyengele Ibola. I got more chicks than you August, I know more. And I'm taller, he is Soga Makoya. My favorite chick, Nagi Mixindo Manaboya. And then after me comes Mendoza. Ask the big dog fresh, Ubani Mova. And you're shoveling on Kakaran, give a fuck if you're gonna. Me and hip hop, the Alexandra no Gunola. Ask the DJ soon, serving in the dollar. I grew up hard and fun, I get to scatter from. Squad camp is not a crew, they're just a bunch of fucks. Fascinating, but still ghetto like these rappers. Provoke us? Him fana re tau fokker, tau nyover, tau vere kulla. Tota tota, I'm a former boxer. With fast line, devil tau rova. Why you a ilia jiga? Shit, I'm like a corner. A stop sign, tau stop by your girlfriend, tau dollar. Maybe that's the reason why, in just setting lawyer.
This is
But you probably say this to me. I'm antisocial like Oski von Chaka Chaka.
My is a
hot shit, call it Chaka Lak.
You know what I'm gonna say, me? Who are the task squad? You read the elements of fire from a shallow lady part.
Yeah.
sign a school from Jeppe. This is called the Manisa.
I'm feeling one's a kid.
A computer must say, I'm feeling to real. I'm a necropetate. I'm a kid's cafe. I'm sick. No more. I'm a little bit of a machine. 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 So shining by my clever, this is not easy, easy.
You rap stupid, waste the lyrics behind the music.
Protect your diggy line, stop pretending. And besides, I see you on the easer. Boss, clever, initial, in my easer.
You know what I'm gonna say, me? We're on the task squad, we the elements of fire, so I'm a shalali di bad. This is one of my easer. This is one of my easer.
On CliffCentral.com.
Damn, that took me back, man. That took me back.
Yeah.
Squatter Cat Manisa.
But Joel, a lot of cats wouldn't get that because, you know, obviously we strive to be hard and but relevant at the same time.
Yeah.
But I think today's rap, everybody's just trying to be soft, yeah? And I blame it on Drake. Kanye.
You think everybody, though?
Yo, man, everybody. You know, I mean... You know, like, you see, like, Kendrick is great. That's why, you know, and talk about him, because he ain't trying to be soft. But, yo, man, even local rap, everybody's just trying to be, everybody's trying to be smooth, you know?
Speaking of local rap, so you...
We were just dirty motherfuckers.
Yeah, vulgar, dirty motherfuckers.
You were hard, you were actually hard.
So, Questa used to be signed to your label, and Younger used to work for you as well, before he was an artist.
And Nota also.
And Nota, yeah. So what do you feel like now when you see where Questa is, what he's done, when you see Younger now doing his thing, like
I'm happy. You know, I feel that, you know, like I said, you know, we all have like some type of job, you know, and if you can give someone like a jump start and they make something out of that's great, you know.
Yeah.
Nota's always been a smart cat, a bit stubborn, and disorganized, but like but you know, I think he like whatever he's doing, he just got the confidence. But you know, he was just always a smart cat, you know.
Yeah.
I never knew Younger was a rapper, you know. They used to just rap like in the studio,
just to fuck around,
Batronche, you know.
Yeah.
But,
so you didn't take them serious.
They never were presenting themselves to be taken.
You can't hear them.
We were like, yo, just do your jobs, motherfuckers. You know what I mean?
Get out the studio.
Stop playing around.
Y'all can fuck around in the studio after hours. But do your job during the day.
We're working right now.
You know? But you know, I'm you know, I just, if everybody's doing what they love, you know, I'm glad I'm a part of that story, and I think I'll continually be a part of a lot of people's stories through Slick on Life, you know, whether it's through advice, whether it's just through just like plugging, you know. I mean, I want to infinitely be able to help if I can, and it's effortless, not like it's something I have to do or like, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, Young, I heard this joint that Younger did recently, I think with DJ Slim and and he's dope on that, you know.
Yeah,
I
mean, it is.
So you know, he's got like a lot of numbers. I just send a message to all these numbers. I'm like, yo, this is dope.
All
these
numbers.
Yeah. You know, I'm like, Quest's song. Quest's got a hit. You know, I think if they play their cards right, that's like the new Karakara. You know what I mean? Yeah. Excuse me. You know.
Yeah.
But like, I love to see the guys winning, because obviously I've got a personal attachment to them.
Yeah.
But I generally love seeing people doing well. That's just who I am. You know what I mean?
And you were talking about doing 1,000 things. Now, the first time I met you was at TBWA.
Yeah.
Now, what were you doing there?
I know
you guys had like a little office there. I don't know.
Yeah, I was a director for one of the experiential agencies. I was director and a partner there.
Yeah.
You know, that's the job I had to leave to actually really focus on this website. So it was a nice, stable job. I mean, like I said, you know, I was in a position that dudes get qualifications to get to, which I don't even have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, when you really focus and you got your heart in things, people see that, you know, coming through. So yeah, but like, this is what I'm doing now, you know.
And speaking of Slicker on Life, when you first had the idea and what it is today, how far off are you in terms of execution? And also, what's more, what more is still to come? because you recently started selling tickets, with the store. Now you sell songs, you sell music. Yeah. So, yeah, what's the plan?
Well, I mean, definitely, you know, I've always said the site is like, you know, like when you sell drugs, the site is the front, you know, but the back end is really like it's the people, you know, it's the core, it's the database, it's being able to feed people like things that they want and being a leader in feeding that type of content, you know, so that needs a certain level of insight. So what we're doing now, I think in a month or two, we'll be introducing loyalty, which you get point if you subscribed on the website, you get points and you'll win things from the online store if you probably have the highest points on the site, you know. We've obviously started the store. We got a special announcement, you know, we're selling tickets for probably one of the biggest events, urban events happening this year. We're going to be selling that, you know. We just got into a deal with Ari Scott, so we're selling tickets to, I gotta big up guys like Tibbs who believed in it, you know, before. You know, they when it started, they were down, you know, Reason and them, they were down with the event. Head honcho, you know, they let us sell tickets. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's about, you know, you can have an idea, but for your idea to work, you need people who are doing things to go, yeah, man, you know, we'll ride with you, you know?
Yeah.
We're selling that. We're selling artist music. I've killed the SMS store. I don't think I'm gonna focus on that because the networks take 60%, which is a total ripoff in our lives, you know. You know, for the art that the guys put out there. So now you gotta buy with EFT, debit card and credit card, you know.
Okay, cool, Sharp. And we're running out of time, but really quickly, you're one of the OGs that are still in touch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you were to put together a song, three artists, three verses from each artist, a chorus and a producer, who are you picking? Who are you putting in that team?
From a production perspective,
yeah,
broad, I'd go maybe right now I'd go with definitely go with Sketchy Bongo.
Okay.
Right? On the beats. Rapping, I'd go with I really like Smash. He sometimes comes through, like, you know, I still think Quest is on it, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, he's nice.
Let me. I put MT on the hook.
Okay.
Yeah, I put MT on the hook. I give Quest the verse, right?
Yeah.
I'd probably give Nasty a verse, and who was the first guy that I had?
Smash.
Smash is in between Reason.
Come on, you ain't got time. You gotta make your mind up.
Hey, but Smash can drop me sometimes. You want to come to the studio, that nigga. Yo, I'll put Gigi on.
Okay.
Interesting.
My G, thank you so much for coming through and hanging out with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, it has been the Capital wrap up. What do you want to say in closing? You only have 20 seconds.
Yo, go to the Slick On Live store. We got a special announcement this week of tickets that we'll be selling. All I'm going to say to you guys, don't forget, buy black.
Shop. Monty?
I'm good. I got nothing to say, man.
All right, cool. Thank you for hanging out with us. It has been the Capital Wrap-Up, 3 to 4 p.m. On Friday, I will be putting out my brand new singles called Hell of a Life.
Yeah, we're going to have that.
It's going to be on Slick On Live, so make sure you check that out. And if you haven't heard it, this is what the fuck it sounds like. Peace!
Yeah. On CliffCentral.com.
They say you live fast, you die young.
This is CliffCentral.com.